This is KFSK's Midday Magazine for Wednesday, May 25th. I'm Angela Denning. Commercial fishing for Stikine River King salmon has been closed down in southeast Alaska because of low numbers in early May. Troy Tines is area management biologist with the Alaska Department of Fish and Game here in Petersburg.
Both the harvest numbers from the gillnet and troll fisheries have been on the low side. Actually, not so much in the troll fisheries, especially early on, but in the gillnet fishery, they've been low, a lot lower than what we were expecting or anticipating for the given preseason forecast.
Catches of the valuable fish returning to the Transboundary River are regulated jointly by the U.S. and Canada under the Pacific Salmon Treaty. The preseason forecast was for a run of just under 34,000 kings this year, a large enough run to allow for commercial fishing on those kings on this side of the border. However, fishing has been very slow for the gillnet fleet in the waters around Wrangell and Petersburg. Gillnetters had 3 24-hour openings in May, and around 25 boats made landings. Those boats averaged only 1 to 3 fish per boat for those openings. Besides commercial catches, fishery managers also use mark recapture surveys on fish that make it back to the lower Stikine River to gauge the strength of the run. Tines says this year has seen the lowest numbers since that tagging started in 1996. Typically, the department updates its forecast for the Stikine run by late May. This year, returns have been too low for the department to come up with an in-season forecast. Tines says managers don't have an indication yet of what's happening with the Stikine King run. Both commercial gill netting and trolling have been closed. Returns could still rebound, and Tines says it's possible the run is just late.
You know, they were at least a week late last year. We were seeing better numbers last year at this time than we are seeing this year. It's certainly a possibility in on an El Nino year. You know, everybody's heard about the warm water blob. That certainly can affect fish behavior and timing.
Half or more of the overall return could still make it back to the river, depending on timing. Commercial fisheries are still happening on the river across the border in Canada. Catches there will give managers an indication on the run strength, along with sport fishing catches on this side of the border. Sport fishing remains on liberalized means and bag limits in District 8 around Wrangell and Petersburg. King returns on another transboundary river in southeast, the Taku near Juneau, have also been lower than expected so far. Without a big change in the return, the gillnet fleet around Wrangell and Petersburg will be tied up until sockeye fishing starts June 13th. Meanwhile, the troll fleet has spring openings on hatchery kings in other parts of the region through the end of next month. The owner of Diamond Sea Cafe and Happy Cannabis is moving forward with construction of a proposed marijuana business in Wrangell's commercial district. Kelsey Martinson hopes he will receive conditional use permits for cultivating and manufacturing marijuana, as well as operating a retail store. Aaron Bolton has more from Wrangell.
Martinson says there will be no doors leading between the Diamond Sea Cafe and Happy Cannabis. The door to the marijuana retail store will be facing the back of First Bank off Bruger Street in Wrangell's commercial district.
Not right out in the front and open. It's a new thing. People are concerned about it, and we're concerned too.
The shop will also be separated from a 1,500-square-foot grow operation by secured steel doors. Martinson says there will also be an extensive security camera system with no hidden corners. He says he understands people are concerned. He hopes to open the retail portion on September 9th, but is unsure about the cultivation and manufacturing side of the business.
We are right now constructing the retail because we're pretty sure that we have that. And there hasn't been any fight over that or anything, so yeah.
Martinson's proposed operation plan for Happy Cannabis shows 15 small individual grow rooms with a total of 45 plants at a time. Such plans must be submitted to the state to apply for any marijuana license. Separate areas will be built for manufacturing raw plants into oils, a more potent form of marijuana. Martinson says the process will only involve ice, water, and heat.
So no solvent chemicals.
Martinson estimates that he's invested $40,000 to $50,000 so far. If Happy Cannabis is awarded all the necessary licenses, he hopes to open a larger cultivation facility outside of downtown Wrangell in a couple of years. The larger grow operation would ship marijuana to other retail stores throughout the state. The state has a tracking system in place to assure that marijuana sold in stores is grown and tested by licensed Alaska growers. Wrangell's Planning and Zoning Commission has yet to make its final recommendations to the Wrangell Assembly on where to allow marijuana businesses. Martinson will not be able to get his business off the ground until the Assembly decides on those recommendations. In an earlier interview, Wrangell Economic Development Director Carol Rushmore said it's a work in progress.
The Assembly had had a workshop earlier this month, or late last month, and had basically said, give us some recommendations of where the Planning and Zoning Commission believes some of these activities should occur.
Rushmore says the retail portion would be permitted under the current code. Cultivation and manufacturing would not be allowed based upon her interpretation of the code. Martinson appealed that decision, but the Planning and Zoning Commission deferred the decision at their meeting on May 12th. Rushmore says Martinson would also need to do some construction to the building in order to meet the required 500-foot buffer between Happy Cannabis and the school. Martinson says he's planning on lengthening the ramp leading to Happy Cannabis's door in order to meet that requirement. The commission has a special meeting scheduled on May 26th to make its final recommendations. Rushmore says she's uncertain if she has the required quorum to have that meeting. She says the commission will make its final recommendations before considering Martinson's appeal again. The future of Happy Cannabis is still up in the air. Reporting in Wrangell, I'm Aaron Bolton.
You can see a diagram of Martinson's action plan with this report posted on kstk.org. Petersburg High School's track and field teams both took second place at the Region 5 meet at Thunder Mountain High School in Juneau last weekend. Sitka High School won both the boys and girls team titles for 1A, 2A, and 3A schools. The Sitka boys scored 203 points to Petersburg's 140. The Sitka girls had 232 points to Petersburg's 156. PHS coach Brad Taylor is a little hoarse from cheering on his athletes throughout the weekend.
Overall, I was super impressed with everybody, the way they performed. Everybody showed up, either exceeded or, you know, met their previous marks. So I was very, very happy with everybody.
The Vikings and Lady Vikings had a number of individual first place finishes. For the boys, Casey Bell took first in the 110 and 300 hurdles. Alan McKay was first at regions in the high jump. Ethan Cummins was first in the triple jump. Also, the PHS 4x100 relay team of Stuart Medallen, Casey Bell, Axel Vides, and Alan McKay won that event at the region meet. Tucker Hagerman goes into the state meet as the second seed in the 800. He took second to a Sitka runner last weekend. For the girls, Isabel Eath was first in four events, the 100 and 300 hurdles, the long jump, and the triple jump. She's the top seed at the state meet in both hurdle events and took state titles in all four events last year. Coach Taylor says she's dealing with a sore knee.
So we kind of held her back in quite a few of the jumps, but she's looking stronger. And Kaylee Eddy had a great performance, and she came second. She was second in the 100-meter hurdles, and had a great meet as well. Those girls were. Those distance girls were first in the 4x8 and the 4x4. Outstanding performances in those, and look, they're seated well at state as well.
Kaylee Eddy is also the fourth seed in the 100 hurdles. The girls 4x400 relay team of Aaron and Hannah Funt, Mariah Taylor and Avery Skeek took first. The 4x800 relay team of Skeek, the Funts, and Kaylee Eddy also was fastest at the regional meet. In all, 17 students qualified for the state meet. Last year, both boys and girls teams placed fourth. Taylor says he's hoping to improve on that finish and maybe beat Sitka. However, he acknowledges there are no guarantees based on past performances.
I looked at the results across the state. Homer is very tough. Anchorage Christian is very tough. But, you know, we're going to go up and give it our best shot. And the boys team on paper looks good as well. Casey Bell had an exceptional meet. Tucker Hagerman seated in the top 1-2. Casey seated in the top 1-2, and Allen in the high jump is seated second. And I know that he can go higher. So it's going to be fun to see what happens up there.
The state track and field meet is this weekend at Diamond High School in Anchorage. Five high school baseball teams will be battling for two state berths at the Region 5 tournament, which will be here in Petersburg Thursday through Saturday. Sitka is the top seed among the five Southeast schools and will open at play Thursday afternoon at 4:30. The Wolves will take on the winner of the opening game of the tournament, the number 4 seed Thunder Mountain against the number 5 seed Petersburg. That game is at 10 a.m. Petersburg High wrapped up its regular season last weekend with 3 road losses against the top seed in the region, Sitka. The Vikings lost both games of a doubleheader Friday, 8-1 and 15-3, in a mercy rule shortened game. That was also the case in a 10-0 loss on Saturday. Coach Jim Engel says his team struggled against Sitka.
Our pitchers struggled. We allowed a lot of runners on with walks and hit batters, and those runs came around to score, I think, every time. So that's something we're going to work on this week, is just executing from the rubber some and bullpen sessions.
Engel says he had really good play from his outfielders last weekend, but he says the Vikings did not hit well as a team. He says there were a lot of things the team did well in the 3 losses.
So Shell Whitstock pitched real well for us. He was on base several times for us in the game, in the losses, so that's good. He's our leadoff hitter, and we need to get him on base. So Stu Kahn's bat's starting to come around for us. That'll be nice to see. Mark Neidhofer had a really hard double down the left field line in the second game on Friday. It would be nice to see his bat come around, because he can really stroke the ball when he needs to. And so if we can get him coming around, that would be really helpful at tournament.
Engel also praised the catching of Loudon Sandhofer. Petersburg opens up against Thunder Mountain Thursday morning at 10 a.m. The Vikings took 2 out of 3 from the Falcons during a home series during the regular season. The second seed, Ketchikan, takes on the number 3 seed, Juneau Douglas, at 1:30 Thursday. Engel is glad to be hosting the regional tournament this year and expects some good baseball this week.
The region has won more state titles and have had more people playing in the state finals than any other conference in Alaska. And so I try to keep that in mind when we're when we're competing. We're a small school to have baseball in Alaska, we're playing a very tough conference. And I expect whoever comes out of here to really compete well at the state level this year.
The championship game is on Saturday. The top 2 seeds will move on to the state tournament June 2nd in Anchorage. A driver's complaint of someone impersonating a police officer has led to an investigation by the Federal Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. The driver last week called Anchorage police to report an unmarked white sport utility vehicle with red and blue interior dash lights tried to pull him over on the Glen Highway. According to the driver, he yielded and the SUV driver passed, laughed, and made an obscene gesture. The driver told police he watched the SUV do the same thing 3 more times. Police have issued a warning that the SUV driver may have been impersonating a police officer. They announced that the SUV belonged to the federal agency and was on official business. The agency is now conducting an investigation. The Alaska legislators have agreed to pick up where they left off on numerous issues that were unresolved when the extended session ended last week, including the budget and oil and gas tax credits. Minority House Democrats tried unsuccessfully for a fresh start on tax credits, arguing for Governor Bill Walker to be able to introduce a new bill. Critics said the issue has been well vetted and the existing committee process should be allowed to play out. House Minority Leader Chris Tuck says his caucus didn't want lawmakers to start from scratch on all the bills on Walker's special session agenda and decided to support the underlying resolution. The resolution passed by the House and Senate on Tuesday covers most of the issues on the agenda. Walker also introduced 2 new bills for the special session, including a tax package. This wraps up KFSK's Midday Magazine. Thanks for listening.
You've